Australia's biggest and most diverse radio sector is making the move to digital. Rescan your digital receiver now to hear this community station in superior audio fidelity. Community Digital Radio. Visit radius.org.au to find out more.
And welcome to Law Matters for another fortnight here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. Great to have your company, and I hope you can stay with us for the next hour. In the second half of our program today, we're going to be talking all about family law and mediation, and joined by one of our solicitors in our wonderful family law unit at the ALS in Perth. Kath Duran joins us on the program today. Also, very shortly on the show, going to be having a chat with the President of the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia Executive Committee, Michael Blurton. Michael will be popping in for a chat. The Executive is actually in Perth at the moment for the next couple of days having their meeting. They have four meetings every year, so looking forward to having a yarn with Michael on the program today. For the very first time, he'll be joining us, so looking forward to that. Hope you can stay with us. This is Noongar Radio, 100.9 FM, the Law Matters radio program. Welcome to the Law Matters program. As mentioned at the top of the show, in the second half of this hour, we're going to be talking about family law. Kath Duran joins us in the studio. She has an extensive lot of experience working in the area of family law. We're going to give you an overview of why the family law unit is so important, some of the work that they do. They're also going to get a bit of a jolt with a one-off funding boost, which is going to assist our work in regional Western Australia as well, which is huge news. And today we're going to talk a little bit in detail about mediation. So Kath will be joining us on the program after 11:30, so do stay tuned for that. But in a couple of moments, you're going to be meeting a couple of people from our executive committee who are currently meeting in Perth. The ALS executive is made up of 16 members representing all regions across Western Australia. President Michael Blurton joins us shortly on the program. And this is the Law Matters program on 100.9 FM, Noongar Radio, and great to join you every fortnight here on 100.9 FM and get to provide an insight to all our community members about their work that's being undertaken by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. For new listeners to the program, we've got 15 offices statewide, and the ALS is actually governed by an executive committee that's made up of 16 members, two from each region, being the old ATSIC regions. So if you sort of cut Western Australia into the old map boundaries of ATSIC, we've got those particular regions covered for our executive, which is really, really important because it means that when our committee members meet four times a year, that they can discuss the issues that are happening within their own regions and put the issues on the table and sort of have a yarn about not only the running of the organisation, but also about what issues our people are facing out in the communities and how we can best work to continue to provide a professional quality legal service and address those issues at community and organisational level. I'm very pleased to say that for the very first time on our program today, Michael Blurton joins us. Michael has a long association with the legal service and he's our president of our executive committee, and it's morning tea at the committee meeting at the moment, and Michael's brought a couple of people along with him that we'll be having a yarn with as well. Arthur Slater from our Southern Region and Kathleen Watson from the Kimberley region, and so we look forward to having a chat with those in the next few minutes as well. But first up, Michael Blurton, welcome to Law Matters. It is your very first time on our program. Welcome.
Yes, it is, though.
Well, President, you've been involved with ALS for a lot of years. I would like to know, before we talk about your enrolment, your part with the ALS, a little bit about you, where you're from and what motivates you to do what you do.
Yeah, look, I'm originally from the Central Wheatbelt, Quiriding. I came down to Perth when I was in primary school, educated in Perth. Firstly, I worked with the Aboriginal Legal Service as a court officer for about 7 years. And when I moved on from the court officer's position there, I promised myself I would come back on the executive committee. And I actually sit on the executive committee now, representing the Metro and the Central Wheatbelt area, along with Murray Yaron. You know, our role is to go out and talk to our Noongar people out there and look after our officers and our field staff out there and bring it back to the table. We actually Got a two-day executive meeting here in Perth this week, today and tomorrow, where we've got representation from the Kimberley, West Kimberley, like you just said, Pilbara, the Lands, Goldfields, Lower South-West and Murchison and Gascoyne and Perth Central. But yeah, and you know, all executive members certainly bring their issues to the table, what concerns they've got in the area, and bring it to the table, and we sit down and we discuss those things.
You're from Quirrating, Michael. Is that where you grew up?
I left Quirrating when I was in about grade 3 primary school. I moved to Perth and educated here in Perth and started working in Perth, yeah.
And I imagine over your years in Perth you've seen quite a lot of changes to not only legal issues and the way they're run, but generally in Aboriginal affairs, if you turn back the clock 20, 30 years. It's been a great time of social change, hasn't it?
Certainly. I remember when I was in primary school, I remember coming to the old Aboriginal centre on Beaufort Street, where I think back then old Jack Davis, well, Uncle Jack was running the Aboriginal Centre, and he used to have one lawyer come every Wednesday, and Noongars used to come to see that one lawyer. And I remember it because my parents were caretakers in the hostel next door, and where every Wednesday you'd get a volunteer lawyer would come down and look after Noongars who was going to court.
It certainly has changed, Lon. I know that in January 2015, it'll mark 40 years since the Aboriginal Legal Service became incorporated. And I remember when we spoke to Miranda Farmer on this program last year, and her father and uncle were some of our first court officers back in the 70s, and she said childhood was standing on street corners waving tins, trying to raise money to keep the ALS running. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We've come a long way.
We've come an enormous way. Part of your role over the years, Michael, not only working within the organisation, but your involvement with this, with the committee, has also been, I remember you were part of a contingent that went over east a few years back and checked out how the Koori courts were run in Victoria.
Yes.
And it's really important, isn't it, to sort of keep track of what's happening in the rest of the country and where it's appropriate to sort of talk about that at a local level here in Western Australia and think, you know, what isn't happening in Western Australia, yes, that perhaps could be making a difference for the over-representation of our people in prison, hey?
Yeah. We actually went over to the Koori courts in South Australia, came back, we saw how they operate over there and got ideas from them. I think one of the courts is where they take the elders into the courts, the elders be part of the court system, and to sit there and just to advise the judge. So yeah, we got a lot out of that. I think that role, that is taken off a bit in Kalgoorlie in the Goldfields, but not so much here in the metro.
Michael, I'd like to know what inspires you to do what you do as a Noongar man. What issues are important to you? Not only as a father, but, you know, if you're looking at your own life as a Noongar in Noongar country and you know, your children's as well, what issues are important?
Oh, I think just working for my people, helping my people. I work mostly in welfare all my life. I work with, I started off working with Betsy Buchanan. She was actually the one that helped me get into the legal system. I worked in the with the South West Land and Sea Council - Noongar Land Council, but I always had the drive to work with my people and help my people as much as I can. I think that was the motivation there to work with my people, yeah.
And I'm sure there's so many people listening into this program who might have, you know, been helped by Betsy over the years. She's done an incredible job. She's one of those unsung heroes who just keeps giving and giving and giving of her time to advocate for our people, to go into bat when, you know, people need a bit of a helping hand. She really does do an incredible job, doesn't she?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Michael, you brought a couple of people along with you to the studio today, which I'm absolutely thrilled about, also from our executive committee. Kath, I'll just get you to move your microphone round to in front of you, and we'll start with you, Kathleen Watson, former president of the Aboriginal Legal Service and our representative on the West Kimberley region. Welcome to the show and welcome to Perth. How's it going?
First of all, I'd like to acknowledge the Noongar people, the Mandau, the land that we stand on, and I pay my respects to them, and thanks for Michael and Uncle Arthur to bring me along to say hello to the wider Noongar community. Yes, I was a former president of ALS, and I'm a rep from the West Kimberley region.
Brett, this isn't your first time on radio, though, because I know how much we love Noongar radio down here, but you mob up in Broome are pretty lucky. You've got the wonderful Broome Aboriginal Media Association and Radio Galari.
Yes.
It's been doing a fabulous job for so many years, hasn't it?
Yep, and also there's Brax and Packham, and then in the wider Kimberley community, you got the Warangi Radio down at Fitzroy, and yes, it's good to take base with them because all our countrymen, I bring this Nganga to you, I Jarak to you, so I'm talking a bit of Gija, which is my father's side, and with the Nganga is because I grew up in the saltwater country, because my parents were from the fresh river country.
Oh, yeah. How important are those regional and very remote radio networks for our people? Because radio pretty much goes everywhere now through the Bratz and Packham networks, doesn't it?
Yes.
How important is it?
Oh, very important, because they know exactly which certain programs come on, and like we got the Prisoners Inside Out program that's been very popular at Radio Glari, and Glari means west, so we're in the west side, yeah, and that's been really popular, and like this is the first time I've been invited on a like sharing up our legal and law matters to our countrymen out there, and like also, I know the Western side, like the culture side, as well as the Gadia side, which is white people. So, and I'm happy to share whatever questions you want to throw at me.
Well, I know that you did grow up in Beagle Bay.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Oh, I had a lovely childhood there at Beagle Bay, one of the first missions in the Kimberley, the Catholic missions. We had nothing, but we were happy. And the lady who grew me up, because I was born at the Derby Leprosarium and my mum couldn't look after me. I was taken away 3 days and sent to Beagle Bay. And this July she'll be 108 years old.
Which is absolutely phenomenal. Yes. I remember we reported that in our last annual report.
Yes.
And Paula Howard.
Yes, and she's part of the Stolen Generation from Waterman, Turkey Creek Way.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
So a really strong role model, matriarch for your family, hey?
Yes, yes, she is.
So when you're up in the Kimberley area, where is home? Is it Broome?
Home is Broome, but I like to go visit all the countrymen around the saltwater side and the freshwater country, because my mum is Nyigana, and like a lot of people are descendants, and through stolen generations, they come to Noongar country, you know, like the Stacks and the Ugles and Pop Maguire, and maybe our CEO has some ties there too from Noongar Wollumbugari country. So a bit of everything, you know, it's a small world.
Yeah, well, you're mentioning some big family names there.
Yes.
So when you're not down here at the committee meetings 4 times a year, what do you keep yourself busy doing up
in
Broome?
The most important thing that came up in my life, I now own a security company in Broome. And it's called Carbine Security Kimberley's Proprietary Limited. And we cater for our security company is mainstream, and we cater for all walks of life.
Okay.
Yeah.
And why did you get involved with the Aboriginal Legal Service?
Well, due to the fact that our people were getting picked up by the cops and don't know their rights. And I did some voluntary work with ALS when Gordon Bowman was the lawyer there, and just help around in the ALS office there. Then now we moved to a new site. We got a very good staff there, and our court officer is Margaret Ugle. She's from here, so she married into Beagle Bay family, one of the Coxes, and she's doing an excellent job there. And like due to the fact that countrymen don't know their rights, and like they don't understand is the main thing, you know. And then I go down and break the tell them what God is saying. I said, well, they say, you can't consume alcohol. And I said, policeman or Lingyu say you can't drink curry. Oh, you know, they say like that. So it's more or less like sharing knowledge, supporting our countrymen when they don't know their rights, and getting the priest to know, to understand our culture too, because not all Aboriginal people do mix together.
And we can't underestimate the importance of that, Kathy. I mean, you're talking about, you know, going and explaining to it in terms that people actually understand. And the law is a complex thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's confusing to understand the way it's written, the way it's spoken about. Yeah. And it's frightening to think that people are facing court or going into a prison sentence, and that perhaps they don't actually understand fully because of, English being a second or third or fourth language, yeah, for a lot of our community people. Actually simplifying it and putting it into terms that people will understand, yeah, what's going on.
And on that note, I did my studies through Deakin University as a lawyer and did my degree, but I didn't sort of follow it up. You know, I'm going into security. But I still have touches with being a executive member on our ALS, which is really an eye-opener for me because,
yes,
I mean, we live in different cultures and world, you know, and our ALS has done a really marvelous job right through the country, you know, and it's just, I pay tribute to our Guardia staff who come and work for us right through the country and supporting and promoting legal issues and stuff throughout our non-Indigenous culture.
Well, Kathy, we're thrilled you could join us on the program today here on Law Matters, and enjoy the rest of your time in Perth. And say g'day to all the mob from us up in the Kimberley when you get home, won't you?
Yeah. Okay then. Galio.
Kathleen Watson, West Kimberley representative for the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. And Arthur Slater is in the studio as well. Arthur, welcome to Law Matters, your first time on our program. We're stoked you could drop in. How's it going?
Yeah, thanks, Jodie. Yeah, first time, yeah.
Tell us a bit about where you're from, Arthur.
I'm one of two reps from representing the Great Southern, the Upper Great Southern and the Southwestern area of Western Australia.
Sort of great for more than one reason, isn't it? It's a great lot of country you've got down there.
A lot of country, a lot of, yeah, definitely. And, my motivation is to be on the ground with the people, be near to what's happening out there. There's a lot of injustices happen people just accept, but it's wrong, you know. We need to address those issues that are affecting our people out there. And I try to do that, advocate on their behalf and try and motivate them to not accept the injustices that are happening out there. Yeah.
Originally from Caliberran, your mob
of
the Ballardong?
Ballardong, yeah. Ballardong, Yungasa, yeah, yeah.
You, a big, yeah, smile came across your face when you said that.
Proud of Ballardong, yeah.
I bet you are.
Yeah, I live at Brookton there. Married girl from Brookton, yeah.
Oh, so from one beautiful spot to another. Yeah, seems a bit unfair, really.
One of the big collard clan.
Yes, yeah. Well, there's a few collards out there, I'm sure. How long were you in Caliberran?
I was born in 1941. Yes. A long time ago.
So most of, you know, your adult years as well?
No, I was 13 when I went away from there, and then I was put in a New Norcia, in the orphanage in New Norcia,
yes,
run by the Benedictine monks. So I was, yes, there for 3 years, and I left when I was 16.
There. Wow.
I went into the workforce here.
And what sort of work were you getting? I mean, we're talking about the 1950s?
Yeah.
What sort of work were you doing then?
Oh, my first job was on the wheat bins.
Yes.
Yeah. I had a fairly good education. I did my junior certificate, and my first job was in the Weybridge, on the weighing the trucks as they bring the wheat in to the silos.
What, the wheat from other parts
farmers,
of the state or from, over
no,
east?
No, all the farmers.
Oh,
in,
really?
In one particular area, yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, they got these big wheat silos out there, and they bring their wheat in, and I have to weigh them in and weigh them out and all that type of thing. But that was my first job. And then I went on to my next job was farming. I went into I was on a farm for about 8 years, and from there I joined the public service. So I was a public servant for nearly 20 years in working for what was started off as community welfare. It had about six or seven changes since then. It's currently the Child Protection Department, DCP. Yeah, but I was also a chairperson of Cardamom-Glenning Regional Council, and the federal government closed ATSIC down, and I saw the state government close the Commission of Elders down as well. So we lost our voice there, you know, and that was a concern for me, and that was my motivation for getting on this region, elsewhere committee. To try and keep our voice. It's vital that we keep ALS. It's highly important that we keep ALS and not let that be closed down. Yeah.
I know. Look, and if you look at back to the last 40 years of one office starting in Perth, this building, the Aboriginal Advancement Council building, how significant is this for our people down here? And those starting early years of the ALS and then another office popping up at Newman and 15 offices now, it's pretty incredible to see how far we've come. And it hasn't been an easy road, has it?
No. It's been a hard road, but, you know, good people stuck to it, and did the hard yards and we're reaping the benefits of it now, but we need to also keep it going, you know.
Yeah. And I know, like many of our people, that native title is very close to your heart as well, Arthur.
Yeah, well, you know, the SWALCS is South West Aboriginal Land and Sea Council is negotiating with the state government, and I think if that deal goes through, I think that could be the best thing that we could do for our next generations in terms of education, employment and social standards and stuff here.
Just in summing up, and thank you for coming onto the program today, I want to know what's important to you?
What's important to me? I like to... it's important that people get the right representation in terms of legal advice and things like that, so that they are going into the courts with a good understanding of what's happening around them and where they're at and what they need to do, and not just go in and plead guilty just for the easiness of it, you know, to get it over with, which a lot of them do. And that's the thing that I like most of all, is hearing those success stories. Yeah.
Well, I know that the executive committee meetings, when they occur, are extremely busy. The agenda is full. You've taken time out of that meeting today to pop across to Noongar Radio and join us, and we're absolutely thrilled. So to you, Michael Blurton, President of the ALS Executive Committee, thank you for coming along. Kathleen Watson, one of our West Kimberley representatives, thank you. And Arthur Slater, representing the Southern Region, thank the three of you for coming along, and we'll let you get back. You probably missed out on your morning cuppa for this, you realise.
Just say one thing before I leave. The tremendous work that the executives do when they come down to Perth, and the tremendous work that Dennis Edgington and his staff are running the old state. Just like to acknowledge those people and the executive committee.
Yeah, all do a fantastic job, and our executive committee, so much experience and knowledge and skills that they bring to the table. It's couldn't be run without it. Thank you all. Enjoy the rest of the meeting.
Thank you, Jody.
This is Law Matters, and in a moment we're talking with Kath Duran, ALS Family Law Lawyer. We're talking about mediation, the role of the Family Law Unit, and we hope you can stay with us here on Noongar Radio. And welcome back to Law Matters, brought to you every fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Jody Hoffman with you till the top of the hour, and certainly fantastic to have some of our executive committee members pop into our program today and talk more about their own experiences that they bring to the table and the importance of not only the executive but the fantastic work happening by the legal service. Well, as promised, we're going to talk about family law, really, really important part of our work at the Aboriginal Legal Service. And I guess it would be wonderful to snap our fingers and have a unit that was five times as big, because it's so important. But joining us on the program to give us a bit of an insight into what it actually is one of our lawyers from the unit, Kath Duran. Kath or Catherine? Kath, welcome to the show. What do you
Kath,
prefer?
You know, Kath, Jody, thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Family law. In the previous year, I guess we've spoken with the manager of family law, Mary Chait. We've also had a yarn with another one of the solicitors there, Jonathan Reid.
All right, okay.
We're still going to get Neil over here for a chat, but absolutely thrilled you're here today, because news recently that we got a one-off funding boost from the Attorney General's federally, which is going to allow for some more legal staff to take on some family law work in regional areas. That's huge, isn't it?
It's really, really big. I mean, we do, there's only, what, four of us in the family law section, and we are kept pretty busy, which is right. It doesn't matter how big the section is, you know, it's a busy
yes.
place. But if we could get more staff, that would just be fantastic, yeah.
Well, let's talk about you, Kath, and tell us when you first got involved. I know you've got a big family law background, but
yeah.
when did you bring all your expertise to the ALS?
I actually was doing a mediation at Legal Aid, and Neil was one of the solicitors involved in that, and we got to a little bit of chatting, and he just said, hey, why don't you come and work with us?
So he poached you?
Pretty much. Yep, he did.
When was that?
That would have been, well, just before I came, which I've been there about 9 months now, that's
yes.
all. So relatively new to the ALS. Especially in view of the experience that was sitting here in front of you just before me.
Mm. Yeah, it is certainly a pretty special place to work, and you do come into a lot of people that most people would never have the opportunities to meet and sit down and yarn with, and I guess it is, well, it's very different to Legal Aid, the work that we're doing, and it's an incredible job, isn't it?
It's quite an astounding place, actually. I've been really, I didn't know what to expect, and but it's a very, very different law practice from most other law practices. Obviously, you do the same process and procedure and court work, but it's really quite different. There's a lot more of relationships between people and bloodlines, and there's a different feeling about it too, actually. I mean, I think, for instance, the staff at ALS are great. So there's a very friendly, open vibe about it.
Yes, I think it's very community focused, and that's the important thing, because we're there for our community members. But family law, what is family law? And give us some examples of why people would need to access our services.
Okay. Well, obviously family law's about families, and that's about children, as well as some of the... Children is the biggest one, and I suppose it's the most emotive one, and that's not, on the face of it, terribly different from all family law, not just Aboriginal family legal service. People access our service for family law in relation to divorces, restraining orders, care of children and where children should live and who should see them and who they should see. There's the usual range of injunctions, court work, mediation, which has become a much bigger force in the area over the last probably 6 or 8 years. What sort of things are you thinking about? Because that it's really a standard law practice, except that the people who come in are very different, because there's a from my observations, there's a feeling of ownership by Aboriginal clients that come in to ALS, which is great. So there is a different sensitivities and feeling about it, that's all.
When you say family law, I imagine that it's probably an area that can get very emotional at times.
It's a very emotional area, and you're talking about other people's children, and you're talking about other people's living arrangements, and you know who's in charge of them, and what role parents have got, and all of that. Very emotional, yeah. And people have also got stories from other relatives. It all becomes quite jumbled, and it's a very emotive area, but a very important area, because if you don't get your families right, it can lead to all sorts of other problems, can't it?
And how important is mediation in the process of family law and working with families and ensuring that the best possible outcomes are sought, not only for the adults but for the children?
Yeah, look, from my point of view, and I've been mediating for many, many years, family law specifically, I think mediation is great. There's a difference between going to the family court, for example, getting orders, going back to your life once you've left the courtroom. It doesn't fill in those spaces between as to how should we relate to each other or what would be a better way of doing this within the family, you know? It doesn't... court work doesn't have the scope to be able to do that. And in my experience, working as a mediator in a mediation service situation, the beauty of it is you can really start dealing with the parties themselves, the parents, and talking about what could you do that would be better. How are you two going to relate? How are you going to relate to the children and they to you? What arrangements can we put in place that the two of you already agree on that's going to be good for your family? And there's very much a feeling of being able to get under and inside parents' minds sometimes, just opening up those sort of questions, because it's not the law. There is law around family law, of course, but the law says this is what you do, and if you don't do it well or if you don't do it, then you're going to get in trouble. This is about, mediation is more about how to deal with when things don't go right so that there's not a huge cut in the process. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does, and I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be at times emotionally charged, and it is going to be very difficult for two adults who might have different ideas of what's best in a scenario to sit down and talk rationally. So I guess the role of mediation is to say, hey, look, you know, let's discuss this, put it all out on the table. Yep. We can all sort of have our input into what is the best situation, and that is going to happen a lot easier with somebody mediating, isn't it?
Usually, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And it is emotionally charged, and it's always emotionally charged when you're talking about families, your family, your children. It's in a very, very emotionally charged circumstance. But as I say, unlike court work and litigation, there's space for people to actually be able to discuss why this happened in the past, or what they meant when they did this, or, you know, how they could both work better, parents, to look after their kids. And that's across the board in terms of clients.
I imagine some of the people who go through that mediation process will probably feel pretty proud afterwards that they sort of approached it, they took part in it, they got through it, and they thought, oh, now I understand a little bit easier why it might be better to happen this way for now, or perhaps their way might have been more appropriate at this time.
Yeah, and you know what? You can probably acknowledge that their way might be the better way this instance when it's not open court.
Yes.
Because mediations are confidential and only the people taking part can actually be there as a rule. Sometimes by consent other people can come in, but... you know, it's reasonably closed. It's about their family, and it's about the two of them trying to work out what's going to be best for them with somebody else's help. So it gets the conversation going.
As a woman coming into work each day and really working with families and their lives and decisions, helping them to come to decisions that may ultimately take them on one course or another, what's the toughest thing about that?
For me, sometimes the toughest thing about it is not the process, it's not the people, it's... sometimes it's when you come across people who actually are so entrenched in their own arguments with each other, the two parents are so entrenched that it's very difficult to move them at all. And to me, it just... that's life. I mean, that's what people do. Not everybody can fit within a box, but I think that for some there's such lost opportunities, and you can just see this internal family conflict continuing when, if people would be a little bit more open, it could be so much better. I know that sounds a bit evangelical, really, doesn't it? If only people could be kinder.
I think when you're talking kids, it's going to be a lot of emotion involved.
So much emotion.
And with that emotion, you're going to have the tough days. You're also going to have the fantastic days.
That's true.
What leaves you on a high?
I think when you start off with couples who are very entrenched, very angry, very resistant, and you can actually, often in a private session, not in front of everyone, but you can actually talk to them, find out what it is that's underneath that, and assist them, perhaps, not always, but to let the other person know this is what the motivator is, this is the driver. Sometimes people actually have the same ideas about it. So that sort of resolution where you look and you think, yeah, the kids have actually been looked after in this meeting by the parents.
I think you certainly need some special skills to work in the area of family law. Mm. It is very emotional, very, very important, because we're talking about families at the end of the day.
That's right.
And I think the family law unit at the ALS just does a phenomenal job. I mean, Mary Chape is the manager, but you've got Jonathan Reed also, and Neil Anderson, and yourself.
Yeah.
And
no,
not
really,
to forget
really good team.
Susie and Melody.
That's exactly right.
Answering the phones, doing all that coordinating as the legal secretaries for that unit. Have I left anybody out?
No, I was very impressed by you, just the way you just rattled it all off.
I think, have I got them all right?
Yep.
But I think that when you've got a state as big as Western Australia and the family law side of it is covered by four lawyers out of Perth, it's going to be an absolute godsend to get some additional help for regional WA.
It would be quite a godsend to get some additional help for
Perth.
For Perth.
Most enjoyable part of being part of the ALS team, Kath, would be
the
what?
The most enjoyable part is the other people who are working there. I've worked in a number of different places, and honestly, the thing that really struck me when I came was how friendly and generous the staff were. It's fantastic. I've really enjoyed it.
And what would you say to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people listening into the program that have thought, oh, I didn't know the ALS ran that service, or maybe they can help me, you know, I do need to get a restraining order, or, hey, maybe that mediation can work in my own circumstances. Yep. Would you encourage them to pick up the phone?
Absolutely. Pick up the phone, and I'm sure that any one of us who is available would be able to just chat to someone about that. If it would help people, we're very happy to speak on the phone.
Okay. I know that in our brand new pamphlet range, which I plug any time the microphone's on, very proud of these gorgeous pamphlets. Check out our website, www.als.org.au. All of our new pamphlets are now online. You can print them out for yourself. You can call us up. We'll pop some in the mail to you, to your communities, to your organisation. Pamphlets such as child protection, parenting orders. There's actually about four or five that relate specifically to family law, which is really important. It's something we didn't have before we revamped these pamphlets.
And they're written really quite in a very straightforward manner. They're not difficult publications to read. So, yeah, if you can get them out there, that's really helpful.
Yeah, and they look great. The artwork on the cover was done by acclaimed Noongar artist Peter Farmer, who is known to many of our community members, designed individual covers for every pamphlet. They're just really, really eye-catching, and you're going to want to have them on display in your organisation. Peter also worked with all the students who did our beautiful mural, our historical mural that is displayed in the boardroom at Perth. Students through the Solid Futures program through Central Institute of Technology and the David Wirrapunda Foundation researched the history of the ALS and put it down in a 5-metre mural. How cool is that?
Very, very cool, and it's beautiful.
It is. So, if you want to see our new pamphlets, jump online, www.als.org.au. Ring our free call number, 1-800-019-900. Bethany Campbell is our Community Legal Education Officer. She'll be more than happy to have a chat about what pamphlets you would like sent out to you. They could be family law pamphlets. They could be anything. What do you do if you get arrested? What's bail? What are the other services run by the Aboriginal Legal Service? A whole range of information available for you. But I'm thrilled that there are so many family law pamphlets. It highlights how big and diverse a role this is, doesn't it, Kath?
Well, it does. It does. And you don't just mean strictly family law either, do you? You just mean the whole ALS situation. But yes, where there's people and where there's family, there is disputes. And it's about getting them resolved as peacefully and as well for the kids as possible.
We're just about out of time on our Law Matters program. It's been a great show, though, and a real bonus to be able to meet some of our executive members from different regions as well. Michael Bluten, of course, has such a long involvement in our organisation, and we're thrilled that he could come along and bring with him Arthur Slater from the Great Southern and Kathleen Watson from the West Kimberley, and certainly hope that provided you with a greater insight into the work and the regions that the ALS covers. Kath Duran, wonderful to talk about family law, and it's something I think we need to do more often, and perhaps in the future when we get you back again and other people from the unit, Neil Anderson coming across as well, we can talk about specific issues, you know, go through the process of what a restraining order is and go through the process of family court. What happens when people get to family court? What does that process involve? Because I imagine family court, like any other court for the first time, is probably pretty daunting, and people don't understand the process.
Yep, it's absolutely the case. And in addition to that, it's about their family.
Okay.
So there's an extra layer, I think.
So I think we're going to take that as an on-air commitment. Family law will be back on the program here on Noongar Radio before too long. We are out of time. It is Wednesday before Easter. If you're going away for the Easter break, do take it easy on the roads. Enjoy yourselves. Eat a little bit of chocolate, not too much. And we do look forward to your company again on Law Matters in a fortnight's time. Remember, our program is repeated on Sunday nights, so you can tune in on Sunday nights. But remember, the original program went to air on a Wednesday. So if we're talking about morning cups of tea, it happened on the Wednesday, not on the Sunday night. Until then, take care. Any information you need, check out our website, www.als.org.au. Kath Duran, thanks for your time.
Thank you.